It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I was laughing so hard, I almost shit my pants.
Almost?
Roses are red, and how do you do? Drink four of these, woo-hoo-hoo.
Thank you, Curly. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, 877-365-3636. You can send us an AOL instant message at Mike O WJFK, and your emails, we'll try to get to those at least sometime this week, omara@wjfkfm.com. Go to the website, MikeOMaraShow.com, for the directions out to Bungalow Billiards for the big party on the 8th at Chantilly, in Chantilly, this coming Friday. We're really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to talk repo. I don't know if either one of you ever been through that type of thing?
No.
Had your car repoed?
Not at all. My bills are always up to date. Just ask Carrie why my electricity was turned off.
Let's go to the president of Falcon International. It's a repossession company in Florida. Patrick Altiz is joining us. Patrick, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Mike?
Doing great. You're busier than ever, I would assume, with the economy. I mean, you hear a lot about houses, but this type of thing also spills into people not being able to make their car payments, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it's, the two aren't unrelated. With the building boom down here going bust, a lot of builders and realtors and title clerks and agents and all that stuff, that they're falling behind on their payments too. So it's often tied in with the housing market.
Yeah, so you got to be busy. When you say you're the largest, how many employees do you have for your company that does this?
We have about 50, 53, something like that.
And you do it all over the world too? I mean, you don't not only do it here in the United States, but also internationally?
Yep, we do. A lot of the ones outside the United States are tied to U.S. military, certain grades of the military. They're allowed to take their cars, let's say, to Germany while they're in a tour duty over there.
Right. Now, I've heard you say that, although you're in this nasty business, which obviously it is, it's a tough business, repoing cars, you do it a little differently than some of the other people. You actually, you do feel a little empathy for the people that are in these situations, and you say you approach it that way. How does that approach differ from other repo companies, the way you do it? Understanding, I mean, the fact is you're gonna grab their cars and take them back to the lot. I mean, that's what you're doing. How do you where does empathy fall into that at all?
Well, oftentimes we do make contact with them in the course of the repossession, give them the opportunity to get their belongings out.
That's nice of you.
Well, it's
I'm sorry, Patrick, I'm having fun. Yeah. I'm having fun, but
that's
that's a normal thing one would say to a repo. Hey, thanks for letting me have my purse out of the car before you take it
particularly
away.
Particularly if the child is still in the car seat.
That is nice. You can have your child back, sir.
Well, it's funny, but you could. It does take extra time to do that, but it prevents them from having to go, 20 or 30 miles away to retrieve their personal property. And sometimes it's sort of a face saving. It can be humiliating or embarrassing for these people to come and get their personal effects out. And even when they come and do that, we try to treat them with respect and that sort of thing. It's that. Part of that has come from the fact that, being born and raised in this area, we wind up repossessing cars from people we know and realize they're not, by and large, they're not deadbeats. They're not bad people. They're people that just sort of got themselves in a bad situation.
How many payments do you usually have to miss before repo becomes the option that they go to?
Well, under the terms of the contract, it could be just one payment. And
do it right away, do they?
Well, they don't want to. The fact is the cars are these repossessed vehicles are selling for so little money at the auctions.
Oh, that's right, because resales now, that's probably one of the worst areas of the car business
because
these cars that people trade in or cars that are used, I mean, the used market is very, very low right now.
Absolutely. So you can imagine some banks not going to be real enthused about repossessing your Suburban and have it go for 10 cents on the dollar at the auction.
And this falls into the same category of the false lending practices. It's the same thing, really, when you're talking about an automobile, where somebody, for example, goes in and they see the they see the Mustang that's all tricked out. It's got all the options on it. It's what they want, and it might be $5,000-$6,000 more car than somebody can afford. But they said, hey, with this special thing, you got to get this opportunity and go for it now. So
0%.
people get in over their heads. I mean, it's not a car dealer's or a car salesman responsibility to let somebody know, hey man, really, I looked at your financials, and this might not be the right move for you. I don't think you'd ever hear a car salesman say
Well,
that.
They do. There's sometimes some, you know, mischief done on the application forms that the that the dealers put, you know, give to the lenders.
I think it was done for me in my younger days. They actually would, you know, tweak it up so you could get a little bit more car. But then again, I was driving a Ford Fiesta. So it was, boy, did I love that car.
Sounds like such a fun car.
That
Fiesta.
Car was great. That car was great in snow. I got to ask you this, Patrick. You know, and this applies to either you or the people that work for you. What is the most dangerous thing that has ever happened? How about you personally? If you obviously, when you started out, you've done a few of these yourself.
Oh, yeah. I've had a gun pulled on me a few times.
Wow.
But you know what? The thing that's very interesting, you know, all the time people say, oh, it's such a dangerous job. It probably was more back in the day, but anymore people are not that quick. Maybe up there in D.C. Maybe I should back that up. Maybe in D.C. it's a lot worse.
Oh, they're just eating crabs. They're always out eating crabs. That's actually, if you really wanted to repo a car, you know what a time to go would be? Follow it right into the crab house. And, you know, because it takes 2.5 hours to get any meat, that enough meat to sustain yourself.
Exactly. That's right.
So if you go into the lot of the crab house, no. You know, it's frustrating, obviously, if this happens to you. And a lot of fingers you can point at. But it comes down, I think, maybe to personal responsibility. But you've had guns pointed at you.
Yeah.
Anything, you know, I mean, anybody take a shot? Anybody pull a trigger?
Oh, well, we oftentimes back in the day have had cars pull in here that have, you know, shotgun holes in them where the guy unloads his shotgun on the car just pulling out the driveway. But that happens less and less anymore, actually.
That's also bad for the resale value.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bullet holes just doesn't really help. Knock it down.
Patrick, you mentioned that the building boom or the lack of a building boom has hurt the economy, of course. Do you ever have to, like, repossess, like, heavy equipment?
Oh, yeah. Bobcats.
Really?
Front-end loaders.
What's the biggest vehicle you've ever had to repo?
Size-wise?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I saw on your show, I mean, your show was on Discovery Channel
right.
for the Repossessors, and there's that one guy that really dug it. He loved it. You know, there's just something
enjoyed
about
it. Too much.
As much as I know you empathize with people, there was this one stain, Patrick, who gets in there and he goes, you know, it's just a line of work where if you're on camera, to say I love coming to work every day as you're hot wiring the RV.
That's right.
And
he
was taking
that.
About $150,000 RV off the lot and saying but he loves his job because what it is, let's be honest, you're doing something that normally would be considered to be illegal, but you're doing it legally because the bank wants the car back.
Well, it is. It's a fun job in that regard. It's the thrill of the hunt.
Sure.
Oftentimes, the people, the customers, are not where the client thinks they are. They've moved several times. Living here, living there, especially here in Florida, the people, you know, they move down here and they're living with a cousin or living in an apartment or living in the car.
So, is there still some adrenaline involved in this job?
Oh yeah, you're in somebody's driveway at 3 a.m. You can get your adrenaline pumping.
That leads me to another question: what is the best time to repo? Is there a specific time? I mean, really, like down to the half hour. Is there a specific time to do the repo?
Sunday night and early Monday morning, probably.
Everybody's full of crabs.
There you go.
They're sleeping.
It's probably the golden hour. People are coming home from the weekend. They've done picnicking or partying or whatever, and they're home, resting up, ready to go to work.
Amen. Has anyone in your company, well, certainly not your company, but I know you must talk to others in the industry, they ever repo the wrong car?
Oh, yeah. That happens a lot. Especially, they'll drive by. Well, years and years ago, there's a story where a company very similar to ours, the repossessor checked the VIN number. Really, we were repossessing VIN numbers, and so checking the VIN number is absolutely crucial.
Right.
Well, he checked the number, and it was one digit off, the last digit. So he thought, well, it must be a typo, so he went ahead and repossessed the car. Mm-hmm. But in fact, the customer and a partner, a live-in partner, had ordered identical cars, and they rolled off the assembly line one after another. We actually did repossess the wrong car.
Oh. I saw one on your Discovery show where the guy got in, he had a key from the bank, so he was able to get into the door, but then the ignition didn't work. Do people doctor their cars at all to prevent you guys from getting them? Like, they really know you're around the corner and they want to just do something to the ignition? Can they adjust it so you can't get it?
They can do that. They can put in kill switches, or they can, or even stuff as simple as blocking in the evening, you know, just with another vehicle. That's very common.
Right. That's what I do.
What do you do? Just come
Honey,
back.
Honey, park right in back of me.
Come back another day, or what do you do?
You get a tow truck. Have you ever gotten a tow truck and, like, pulled the car out from, the car that's blocking them and then moved the other one?
Well, I don't know about up there. Down here in Florida, we'd get in trouble for that. The state regulates us pretty carefully.
How is your credit there, Patrick?
I don't know. You might want to run my Social Security number and see what comes up.
But it's pretty lucrative doing this, and your business is booming right now. I'm going to ask you a question that you probably won't answer, but I have to ask it for those.
All right.
If somebody has missed a few payments and they're thinking in the back of their mind that, you know, I might wake up and out in my apartment parking lot, my car might not be there, what is something they could do to make it a little difficult for you? I know you can answer that if you want.
Theoretically.
Well, theoretically, if it was a front-wheel drive car, they would park it nose in, mm-hmm. Or park it, tilt the wheel hard, you know, to one side or the other.
Right.
But really, the best thing to avoid repossession
is make your payment.
Well, and then that or mm-hmm. is the one thing a lot of the customers don't do, and that's keep in touch with the creditor. I think the banks and credit unions, they get a little sketchy when you don't take their call,
mm-hmm.
you're dodging their call. You got to keep in mind, especially in today's market, they don't want that car. They really don't. They want the payment. They want partial payment.
Right.
They want interest only. They want to keep that loan alive.
I think that is the common sentiment, that if somebody is out there and they're, you know, they're behind on their bills, that what they have to do is duck the creditor, duck the bank. And you're saying to me, if you said, hey, listen, I've got a check coming in, I intend to make this payment, that does buy you more time, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The client, again, they don't want the car. They lose when they have a car repossessed, they lose too. But when the customer quits taking their calls or won't return the calls, it's an understandable sentiment. And I mean, they're embarrassed or they're hoping for a better day. They're hoping they hit the lottery or the check comes in on Friday. And, you know, people are optimistic, but really the best thing is just to keep in touch with the creditor.
Do you have any ex-cons that work for you at all? Do you have people that, have actually, you have to have a skill if you're a repo guy. I mean, the guy that I was watching on TV, I mean, he knows how to steal cars. That's what he was doing, basically. Do you hire ex-cons?
No. Here in Florida, the regulation, you can't hire a convicted felon, any kind of felony, oh. So... But I'm not sure we would if we could.
How do they staff the radio stations?
With ex-cons.
They just send them up to D.C., I think.
Oh, okay.
Eating crabs. Is there any car type that you see a lot of repos on more than any other? Or are they all over the board? I mean, obviously, it's across the spectrum. You're talking about heavy equipment, but is there a particular,
You're asking great questions. And what we don't see are certain...
Thank you very much, Patrick. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Well, certain vehicle types we hardly ever get, like Subarus, let's say, or Volvos.
Oh.
And I think the type of person that would buy a Subaru, let's say, would not be the type that would typically have their car repossessed.
Right. Any Subaru? You guys drive Subarus? Anybody?
No,
Subaru?
No, but I get what
Brad
saying.
Had one.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it ever get repoed?
I think he sold it before they could repo it.
The repo man.
Yeah.
All right, so you're saying the cars that don't get repoed, but the ones that do... flashier cars, perhaps? How about vets? I bet you repo a lot of vets, don't you?
Well, it depends. You know, right now we're getting a lot of pickup trucks, big pickup trucks, you know, F-350s, diesels, you know, dualies.
Thirsty cars.
Thirsty cars.
Is it more satisfying to repo a vet than, say, a Chevy Suburban?
No, I think the ones that are harder to find are the more satisfying ones, ones that take a lot of effort to actually locate the people.
Right. Okay.
Are you gonna get your show back on Discovery anytime soon?
We get calls all the time from MTV or some, you know, production company that want us to do a Dog the Bounty Hunter type of show, and we're not about that anymore.
Was it difficult for you to do what you do with the cameras around? I would imagine it was kind of tough.
It was. I mean, I know you guys are used to, you know, the limelight. For just a civilian, it's a little bit tough, you know.
Used to it. Patrick, I thrive in it.
Oh, God.
Please put the spotlight on me. I'm eating crabs.
Patrick, I'm curious, because from what you say, really it's sort of a last resort. The companies don't want to repo the cars. What do you make? What does it cost them to get you to repo a car?
Oh, that is a great question, Rob.
Well, it seems like the street price of a repossession, whether it's down here or up there, is in the $300 or $400 range.
Okay.
It's not a lot.
So if you're good at it, you know what you're doing, you can get it done, in like an hour, hour and a half?
Well, once you locate the vehicle, if it takes you more than 2 minutes, you're not doing your job right.
Wow. Okay.
What's the greatest fear you have going into a repo? Like do you usually work in teams, or do certain guys go out solo? How does it work? Take me through seriously the average repo. Like from getting the notice to getting to the place. What's the average repo like?
Wow. Okay. Well, we would get the assignment from the client, and it would have whatever information they had.
So it goes like, "Hello, GMAC, Patrick. We've got three payments missed by Mr. Spiewak, and he resides inside."
And they give you an address on the right,
right?
And it's
right.
always on a speakerphone, like on Charlie's Angels, right?
Yes. Okay, Angels, get out there right now
and take us through it. Do you go? You travel in packs? Do you go three guys, two guys, one guy? How's it work?
Well, it varies. Sometimes they go out in teams, but nowadays, with the fuel being what it is, often we'll send out spotter vehicles, see if the address exists, whether the vehicle's there, or if it's vacant. I would say more than half of the repossession accounts we work, the people are not at where the client thinks they're located. They've moved on. And so we have to utilize different resources for locating people.
You're not going to let us know any of your tricks, are you?
Well, probably the one.
How do you sleep with yourself at night? No, I'm kidding.
One of the most interesting ones is what people post on Facebook.
Really?
Oh, yeah. All our investigators would have MySpace accounts or Facebook accounts. And you know, it's surprising what a consumer will post about their personal life on some of these websites.
So you get a guy's name, and you you know, you find out he's got a you know, a MySpace page, or he's got a Facebook page, mm-hmm. and you go to his page, and he's got you know, "Incidentally, I'm going to my beach house this weekend."
Absolutely.
I mean, does it work that way, really? People, that's there's something mm-hmm. right there. Mm-hmm. If you know, if you've got a car that you've missed payments on, don't put that info on your Facebook,
Patrick. Okay. Then
not
you...
that I'm trying to defend these people, but I do feel for them a little bit, Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
You understand that? I'm sure.
And I do too.
Sounds like you do too.
I do too. They're our neighbors. They're people you know.
Right.
Patrick, do you ever go to Facebook and write on their wall, "Go see if your car is still there"?
Go out to the garage now.
Yeah.
It's gone. And you say you've had guns pointed at you. What's your closest call as far as, you know, just getting out of there before somebody got up or came out and got you?
Well,
Yeah.
It's not uncommon for them to
Patrick,
come out.
Patrick, are you tired of this job?
Is
it you sound weary. You sound like perhaps, you know, it's taken its toll.
Or is
you
it us?
Do you have enough? Or is it us?
You guys have a slot for me up there, maybe?
Oh, you could come by anytime.
Sure.
You know, you ought to come by on BYOB Friday. And
love
then,
to have you.
You know, if we, do you still enjoy an adult beverage every now and then, Patrick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or some crabs, too. I heard you guys are doing
some crabs. Why do I think Monday on Friday's show we're going to have a bunch of steamed crabs?
Here's a question. Has a woman ever tried to persuade you not to take
her car? Oh, that is awesome. Yes. Have you been offered services?
No, that one's never crossed my path. And I actually recently asked the repossessors, one of our staff, I said, "Does that ever happen?" They said no.
Oh, see, that's no
I
fun.
Know.
Now, no wonder you're not on the Discovery Channel anymore. Hey, last question. You ever let anybody slide? You ever have somebody that just came out with a compelling story, you know, and you were there, you had it, but the person's story was so significant that you let them slide?
Yeah. But, you know, invariably, I've done that more than once and more times than I ought to.
I'm glad to hear that.
But with that said, they often don't come through. Like they might say, "Oh, you know," it might actually be an old friend of mine. They'll say, "Oh, just let me go. You know, I think something's going to happen this Friday. I've got a check coming through, and I'll keep in touch with you." And that's usually the last I hear from them.
And anybody ever like bump into you, like in a mall, the bar, or whatever, and maybe you know, try to get into it with you at all?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah. All right, good for you. Well, then that's
It's far less exciting than you guys probably think it is.
Yeah, obviously. Okay, well, Patrick, thank you very much.
You bet.
Appreciate that. And
thanks, Patrick.
Good luck with your repossessing, and everybody make their car payments on time. We'll talk
to
you soon, Patrick.
Send me some crabs.
I will. Absolutely. Bye. Take care. Okay. That's Patrick Altiz, ladies and gentlemen.
He was really good. You know what he
repo
did?
Repo man.
He repossessed my heart.
He didn't give us any of the information on preventing repos that I wanted.
It's not as dangerous or interesting as we thought it would
be. No. I wanted to hear bullets flying, you know. Quick, take a left. He's right on our tail.
Who knew?
The only thing we learned is he wants a job in radio. Okay.
He does, yes, with crabs. All right, well, good luck, Patrick. Good luck. Over. You know, he's getting repos in Italy, Germany, England, Scotland, Costa Rica, Panama, Guam, Australia, and Iceland.
Yes.
I didn't think the people in Iceland had money problems like
American
that.
American military. He was talking about earlier. He has to go repo the military's cars.
God, okay. Yeah. Well, he seemed nice, I have to say.
He did seem nice.
All right,
he?
When we come back, we got the Hollywood buzz. More fun, more thrills coming up on The Mike O'Mara Show.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.